plate a potential nugget.
The other thing that struck me in the book, Harsh, was your evolution over time. I think Hema Ravichander, one of the board members, speaks about how you've leveraged feedback at various points in time in your growth. Give us the other thing I observe very often is entrepreneurs often don't get good quality feedback. You know, they have a lot of people around them, but very few people show the mirror.
Yeah.
How have you approached that?
So you're absolutely right. I've seen many entrepreneurs. It all depends on, and my journey is based on my own, shall I say, lack of education. I'm just a commerce graduate. So there's nobody who has been a guide to me or a mentor to me. And I've always learned my whole, whatever introduction to business. Of course, I had that genetic mindset in terms of understanding of business, but I never knew all the competencies in terms of functional competencies, whether it's finance or HR or marketing. And my initial years, I have learned, and still I'll go on learning a lot from my own talent. So if I don't know about something, I should have the humility to tell them that I don't know. Please teach me. So I've always had that mindset of learning from people down the line, which has benefited me a lot. So I, over a period of time, developed a very strong belief that I have to learn from others. Number two, I also realized that every person has a blind spot. I may think about something, but I have not thought of a certain angle to that particular decision. So whenever we have sat down in a cross-functional meeting or in a meeting which involves other people, very important issues, some new thought has occurred, come from somebody else, which never occurred to me. So I developed a very strong belief in consensus, especially for some strong, for important organizational issues. So combining the need to learn because of my past backgrounds and the need for consensus has developed a very high degree of openness in me to listen to others. So if you give me feedback, and I may disagree with that feedback, but if I discard that feedback and tell you that, you know, this feedback is absolutely useless, you are criticizing me, then you stop giving me feedback. But if you tell me, give me that feedback, and I said, thank you very much, I value your feedback, but for whatever reason, I don't agree, but please continue giving me feedback. You will continue doing so. So giving that criticism versus critique is important. You know, you're not criticizing me. You're telling me, instead of doing this, why don't you look at doing it like this? And I'm also accepting it. So the way you give feedback and the way it is accepted is very, very important in ensuring high degree of openness within the organization. And we have been sending all our leaders to a 6-day training program on leadership style, on openness, on critique. And I think that has played a very important role in Marico being a learning organization.
I've noticed that people in positions of power, CEOs, entrepreneurs, promoters, and so on, very often don't get good quality feedback. When you ask them, they say that they have an open door policy. But my point to them is, how many people walk through the door to have a candid conversation? I had the opportunity to speak to Amy Edmondson of Harvard Business School, recently voted as the number one thinker in Thinkers 50 Awards, considered to be the Oscar Awards for Management Education. She speaks about the calculus of silence and uses the example of Bridgewater Associates to speak about how Ray Dalio makes it possible for people to speak with radical candor. The term calculus of silence is her way of talking about the trade-off that people have in mind between speaking up versus staying silent in an organization.
The calculus that I describe is something that's very simple, which is that if you're at work, there's an old saying, better to be, better to risk being thought a fool than to open your mouth and, you know, prove it beyond a reasonable doubt or something like that. It's a bad saying, but it's wrong, right? It's wrong in today's world. But the calculus is such that if you think about it this way, if I think your plan might be fatally flawed and I'm your subordinate, you're my boss. In that moment, I might be wrong, right? So in that moment, I can speak up and maybe save the day, but maybe not. Maybe you won't be mad at me, but maybe you will. And whether or not all of that will happen is going to be delayed, for sure. I mean, your anger might not be delayed, but whether or not my intuition about the plan was right or wrong is going to be hard to sort of figure out objectively for a while. Whereas if I'm taking a risk, in other words. Whereas if I stay silent, there's no risk in that. If I stay silent, I'm just there. Nobody knows. You don't know. Nobody else knows that I had a thought in my mind. I had an objection and I didn't share it. So I talk about that as this fundamental asymmetry between voice and silence. The voice calculus will always lead subordinates towards silence, not voice. Therefore, as leaders, you have to override that natural instinct. Now, the Ray Dalio case, Bridgewater, is a very special case. I call it an extreme case, where he understands, he so deeply understands that voice calculus, that asymmetry, where silence is generally cost-free and voice is expensive for people, that he says, why don't we flip that on its head? He says, why don't I reframe silence as unethical? And think about it. It's a really strong statement. And yet, there's a way in which we have to agree with that statement. Because if you had a concern about an important decision or issue in a work environment, you know, a strategic decision or a patient care decision, it doesn't matter, and you decided to hold it to yourself because it's safer that way, that is unethical, isn't it? Right? Because you have training, you have expertise, and we hired you to share some of that training, that expertise with others. And so I think it's rather interesting, and that's why I highlighted in the book that Ray Dalio labels it as such, where he just comes right out. Instead of saying, hey, we'd love to hear from you, he says, hey, when we don't hear from you, you are really not doing your job. In fact, you're so much not doing your job that I believe it to be unethical, right? So it's pretty extreme, but it's provocative, and I love that.
I hope you're finding the podcast of value. Do take a moment to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you consume the content.